Bang.
Thank you. Have an incredible...
Well, Dak, here's the deal. I'm the best there is, plain and simple. I mean, I wake up in the morning, I piss excellence. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, people of the internet and planet Earth and parts, some might very well call unknown. It is time for season one of the Backdoor Cover, episode 6. Did I lose?
Unbelievable.
I did not lose Jordan. Okay.
Well, I'm here. I was just muted until you were done doing your thing, you know?
Fair enough.
Yes, episode 6 already. Bit of an interesting one for me, but
I am,
you know. Austin is live from our hometown somewhere in Michigan.
Yeah.
My hometown? Well, not your...
Not yeah, say not my hometown.
Not your hometown, but your current place of residence.
In
my hometown.
In the state of Michigan, the current frozen tundra that is Michigan.
I am currently live from the upstairs of my grandma's house because family Thanksgiving obligation.
Is there snow down there? Just out of curiosity.
Not as much as there was that we had, no.
Lucky.
There is a very light dusting, but not the 2 inches that I woke up to this morning.
Yeah. Okay. We got ourselves a show. We'll try and keep this one a little shorter. Not a lot of greatness to talk about this week. I mean, got some bad beats that are horrible. Jordan does. I have one. Quick update on our locks. Our locks sucked last week.
And they've sucked all season.
Yeah, I mean, it's not really an update. They suck. They were bad. They sucked.
The law of averages says that one of these is going to hit eventually. And I'm really confused as to how. I'm sure we both hit on other things. But these locks are cursed.
Yeah.
And I do not for the life of me understand.
When we first started doing we did backdoor cover on season 4 of the podcast. That's where it was introduced last year.
Yep.
We had a running competition of whose locks did better. I feel like we had the intention for this iteration of backdoor cover for there to be a running competition. Right now, I'll just be happy when one of our locks hits. I don't care if it's mine. I don't care if it's Jordan's. I just want someone's lock to fucking hit.
Having seen yours for the weekend, I'm not too skeptical that it's going to be yours. Yours is... okay. Yours is a thing that could very well happen, but the odds are a bit crazy.
Just because there's two underdogs that shouldn't be underdogs.
That is fair.
I mean, now with that being said, Vegas is...
Vegas is known.
Vegas is known.
Some things that we have not known.
Yeah, so...
It's been rough, so... I know you have one bad beat. You should probably take that one first.
Yeah.
I guarantee you all the rest of these.
Yeah, we'll talk about our locks later.
These are miserable.
We'll talk about locks later. We will get into bad beats for this past week.
Audience, get your booze ready.
Yeah. Jordan's are really bad. Mine are just, my singular ones just oops. Also shout out to anyone who had the had Michigan State to cover against Ohio State on last Saturday.
Yeah, that didn't happen.
Like, I was just scrolling through to find my lock, and I found something else about that game. I found a Michigan State fan, Jamel Hill, famous Twitter Michigan State fan, asking it, wanting to know if last Saturday if the Big Ten just had a mercy rule.
I would have been asking the same thing in that scenario, but I mean, that's what happens when you rush your best player 6 times.
Yeah.
If he's hurt, don't play him at all. The 6 carries did not do a damn thing for you.
No, they didn't. So,
if he was actually hurt, then I don't know what he's doing out there. And then if he's not hurt, then what in the absolute hell is Mel Tucker doing?
Yeah, bad. That was not my bad beat, though. That was just...
A notable thing.
Yeah.
That game should have had a mercy rule. That was
fuck. If Ryan Day kept the starters in, it would have needed one.
Oh, fucking hell yeah.
Okay, my bad beat though comes from a Twitter user. Are we new where? Are we new here? Are we new?
Are we new where?
I don't know. I'm gonna just go with are we new here? Replied to a tweet
for grammatical purposes.
Yes, and not having a stroke. Trying to decipher and read it.
Like Wendy's and Horace.
Fuck. replied to a tweet from an account called Hammer Down. Well, not a account, the Hammer Down account from Pat McAfee Productions office. About the
number one sports betting show coming out of the Pat McAfee Incorporated offices.
Yeah. About the Chelsea-Leicester City game. Are we new here? He had the under on goals scored for Chelsea-Leicester City. That was looking great.
Why did he hate himself?
The under was 2.5. Or two. It was. I believe it was 2.5.
2.5, so.
This was looking great. I mean, yes, Chelsea scored two goals in the 14th minute and the 28th minute, so two in the first half. But it was looking good from the 28th minute on for a while, and then in the 62nd minute, Kai Havertz comes off, makes way for Captain America himself.
Oh no!
The star of the U.S. men's national team, Christian Pulisic, making his return, more or less, to Chelsea.
Return for this Chelsea fan. It's been a long time coming.
Long away for a lot of people with how much money Chelsea spent on him.
Not
and
a decent amount.
73 is a yeah. chunk. And then... So Christian Pulisic came on in the 62nd minute. 9 minutes later, he does what he does. And the under is no more.
That's not good, but it's not.
Say, it is definitely not good if you... if you were an under better. Christian Pulisic scored a, I don't want to say lovely, I don't want to say beautiful, sublime goal. It was a solid goal. Good passing. I don't remember who got the assist. Let's see if it tells me. It shocker, ESPN doesn't want to. Hang on. Hakim Ziyech finds a pass from the right side of the 6-yard box.
Well, no wonder the goal happened is a fucking Ziyech appearance.
Yeah, Ziyech wasn't even on the right side of the 6-yard box. Ziyech was a little further out. Christian was on the 6-yard box. Christian Pulisic threaded it or 5-hole on the keeper. Into the bottom left corner. Yep. Poor keeps.
Shall we get in?
That's my bad beat. But so yeah, Jordan, you take this. We're gonna be here for a minute. I wish I brought booze.
It's a good thing I did. I'm kidding, actually. Did not.
For years, I've heard a couple of years.
They're all bad.
I was saying, I don't think I've heard all of yours.
You might not have. No, I think you have, actually.
I just don't remember them all.
We will start off with the only college football bad beat. The rest are all college basketball. This was in Iowa State, Oklahoma. this is a first half spread bad beat.
Which is something I would never want to touch, ever. Oh, actually, I have one second one. Possible bad beat. I forgot about this. Individual on somewhere, I have no idea who this guy was. FanDuel Sports tweeted it, Bleacher Report Betting tweeted it out. From FanDuel Sportsbook. This individual had Nick Chubb, Dalvin Cook, Jamar Chase, Travis Kelce, and Najee Harris all to score touchdowns. Anytime touchdowns.
Okay.
Those all hit. Rob Gronkowski was the final leg in that parlay. He had six. The first five hit. He had the potential to cash it out for $268. The bet was, he had a $20 bet. His total payout would have been $823. Rob Gronkowski did not score a touchdown. I do hope that individual cashed that out. Rob Gronkowski going into the game, going into last Monday, looked good and set to play, and then kind of re-aggravated something and just didn't really see a lot of playing time. So I hope to God that individual cashed that out.
I've already dropped Gronk from my fantasy team. I can't do it anymore. Needed the roster spot.
Yeah, I saw that just kind of scrolling through some stuff. So I hope to God that individual did cash that bet out.
I mean, it could have been worse. It could have been like one of those huge ones where the potential is like $200,000+.
Yeah,
and they can cash out for like $100,000.
Yeah.
And then they let it ride.
And yeah.
Trying to go for more, and it never goes well.
Mm-mm.
Get them like that, cash them fuckers out.
Fuck, all even right. Like some of mine, like smaller ones, I look at it's like, yeah, we're just not gonna, I'm not playing with fire.
Right.
Go ahead though.
So this is the first half spread in Iowa State versus Oklahoma from last Saturday. Iowa State was +3.5 in the first half. They were tied with Oklahoma until 9 seconds to go. Brock Purdy with a fumble, returned by Jalen Redmond for, I believe, a 44-yard touchdown.
Sounds about right. It was returned for a touchdown, I think 44, 45. Somewhere in there.
So that first half spread, the +3.5.
Deed.
Dead.
D-E-D.
It's over. We move on. Abilene Christian versus UT Arlington. College
Abilene
basketball.
Christian beat Texas last year. They were a little bit of a darling for two rounds and then met Gonzaga.
So you have UT Arlington up 3 late. And I mean real late. Missed free throws allow for a rebound to Abilene Christian. They call, I believe, a timeout. Inbound the ball. Last second 3. We're headed overtime. If you know anything about college basketball, you know how this story's going to end. Abilene Christian dominates overtime. UTA wasn't even close. I think they ended up losing by 9. Brutal, but we're going to get to some even worse ones.
Good evening, Caleb. I hope you had a good Thanksgiving. Just saw that pop up in Twitch chat.
Yes, sir.
Cool.
We move We move on to one that I know you've heard of, and I know, I believe we saw this. I was following this live.
Oh, God.
Northern Iowa versus Arkansas.
Yeah, this was a game that
Northern Iowa was a 12.5 point woof. 12.5 point dog up 1.
Like 2 minutes to go.
2:57 to play.
Oh, 3 to go. Sorry. Fuck.
Somehow, some way, they don't only lose. I mean, I get it was only a 1-point lead, but we're talking 3 minutes to go. They did not score again. Arkansas beats them by 13. To cover the 12.5. Talk about snatching defeat from the jaws of victory. You're looking beautiful in that scenario.
Oh, God, yeah.
And Northern Iowa actually had a, I believe, a 60-some percent chance to win that game at that point. And then somehow
gave up 13.
They gave up 14.
Or 14, I'm sorry. Gave up 14.
14 straight to end the game. And they lose by 13.
You don't score a point. You don't make it to the free throw line. You don't put the sphere in the little round cylinder 10 feet off the ground.
UNLV. Whoa. They were plus 12 and a half versus Michigan. Michigan has this game in hand late, but UNLV is going to cover. Or so you thought. Already down 11.
What was the spread in this game?
12 and a half.
Okay. Because I was looking at it, I was like, this game could be worth it, if I remember correctly, and then I didn't touch it because...
Well, I bet you're glad you didn't.
Very.
3.7 seconds to go in an 11-point game. UNLV fouls Musa Diabate of Michigan. Now, he goes to the line, and something notable here, as he stepped to the free throw stripe, Musa Diabate was shooting 31% on his free throws for the year.
Yeah.
And you intentionally fouled him down a billion with 3.7 seconds to go.
I mean, if you're going to foul a guy, he is the guy to foul.
This is true. And you know what Musa Diabate did? 31% free throw shooter. Drilled them both. Raised his shooting his free throw percentage by 9.
Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Ugh.
I had to double check that because when I was looking at this, it was up to 40%. And I'm like, I know it's lower than that. I know it was lower than that. So I had to go back and watch the final bit of that game. 31% free throw shooter on the season.
Oh my God.
You foul him with 3.7 seconds to go, and you don't cover because of it, because he drills them both.
And raises his free throw shooting percentage 9 points.
9%.
Wow.
But this last one, I mean.
So I've heard 4 of your 5.
Yes, sir.
I don't know if I've heard this one, so I'm curious.
No, you've heard this one.
Have I?
Mm-hmm. This is Jacksonville State and Troy.
Oh, God. Yep. Nope. Yep. Ugh.
This might be one of the most brutal ones I've ever seen. I mean, this is, if not worse than, this is at least in Ohio State Northwestern territory. Like, or Clemson Florida State?
From earlier this year, yeah.
From earlier this year, yeah. This is in that territory. This is absolutely incredible. Jacksonville State and Troy. Total is 133. That's a big number for college. Really big number.
Big.
And then you look at it, tied at the end of regulation. 49-49. You have 35 points to work with. You're golden. Okay. End of overtime number one. It is 55-55. You're still fine.
Still golden.
You know, you're still thinking.
Got 16 points to work with.
At that point, you're thinking about it. I mean, look, each team scored 6 points. In that, so if they keep that pace, you're
in, got like 20 actually to work with.
You're in good shape. End of overtime number two. 63-63. We're getting to the danger zone now. you're really starting to look at this like this is going to be really bad. Overtime number three. Meanwhile, let me look up the final score of this game, because it did go three overtimes.
Okay.
Overtime number three was the last. And I have to see if the losing team scored in that overtime.
Oh, geez.
Okay. Yes, they did, but not much. So you were in third overtime. Troy has started to pull away. It is 67-65 in the third overtime with less than a second to go.
Remind everybody what the total was real quick before you finish this.
The total was 133.
And the score was with less than a second to go?
67-65.
67-65. So you're at 132 right there with less than a second to go. Just for everyone.
Misses one of these free throws, you push. Whatever. At that point, whatever. But if he makes them both, bad stuff.
Yeah.
Jalen Finch fouls Zay Williams. You look at this free throw percentage. You say, hey, we got a shot here. He shoots 66% from the free throw line.
Yeah, there's a good chance.
And in just a completely pointless foul, I believe there's 3/10 on the clock. You're not going to do anything in 3/10. There's no conceivable way. I mean, what? You want to run a tip drill? Okay, cool.
Yeah.
This is Jacksonville State and Troy. Nobody would have cared about this game had it not been for this moment. Drill's the first one.
You're at a push.
At that point, you'll take it.
Get your cash back.
After what you've been through in this game, you will take the push. Zay Williams steps to the free throw line for free throw number two. And you know what happens. You know what happens next.
Yep.
Zay Williams drills the second free throw. And you have just witnessed one of the worst bad beats you will ever see in your entire life. 49-49 at the end of regulation when the total is 133. You're golden.
You had 35 points to play with.
35 points. And the game goes three overtimes. You still should have hit the under. But an intentional foul with 0.3 seconds left. I have no words. I'm a broken man. Let's get into this show. If you want to go watch the highlights, knowing what the total is, just 133. Remember that. Just prepare yourself.
Yeah, that's a fair way to put it.
Because it is just one of the worst things I've ever seen.
Yeah, that's accurate. Well, let's get into the show.
Shall we?
We have no motorsports to talk about this weekend. NASCAR obviously done for the year. And no F1 this weekend. They're on a break as they move from Qatar to Saudi
Arabia.
Yep.
So where the hell do we start here?
Let's just go with the NBA. That's what FanDuel has right up on my screen.
Oh, God.
Do you have anything you want to even say about the NBA?
I don't know, to be honest.
I would say, because I don't touch the NBA.
Let's see. We got Warriors and Blazers tonight. Blazers have been a bit surprising. Warriors have been really good. Golden State -6. Don't hate it. I mean, I don't. Am I saying this right? We do not have much. We have two games tomorrow, at least listed on FanDuel right now.
Let me check real quick on ESPN. I wouldn't shock me with the NBA.
I mean, it's a big college football weekend. You know, what are you?
They have a few. Games? They have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8.
Jesus.
Not a lot of great games. Minnesota, Philly, New York, Atlanta, Phoenix, Brooklyn, Orlando, Cleveland, Miami, Chicago, Charlotte, Houston, Washington, Dallas, New Orleans, Utah. A 6:30 in those games. 6 o'clock start. 7:30, 7:30, 8:30, 8:30, 9:00. They're all basically starting almost all at the same time.
So let's see here. So for tonight, this game starts at 10:10. So still got a little time here. Looking at player points for this game, I don't hate Damian Lillard over 26.5.
Okay.
I mean, he is Portland. They if they're going to win, they need him bad. So wouldn't hate that. Honestly, that should be easy. Unless CJ McCollum is the guy tonight. His total's 20.5. And then Lakers and Kings. Kings at Lakers. I don't know what to do. The Lakers are bad, the Kings are worse. I don't understand how the Lakers are this bad. First basket, I don't know. Anthony Davis plus 500. Fucking hell, I don't know.
Yeah, that's not great.
So the two games that are listed on FanDuel right now are Knicks for Saturday, rather. 7:40 tomorrow, Knicks and Hawks. Ooh, that's going to be hot. That was the playoff matchup last year.
Yeah.
So Atlanta, that Atlanta crowd's going to be hot. They do not like the Knicks. Atlanta minus 4.5, probably just because they're at home. I feel like this could easily flip if this was for the Knicks. So I really don't know if I would touch much here. I don't see any player props right now. Total parlays, fuck that. Popular. I mean, if you really wanted to hate yourself, maybe Knicks wire to wire.
I guess.
Lead the game at the end of every quarter plus 500. I don't know. Not going to be much up for these games since they're literally, you know, a bit under 24 hours away.
Yeah.
Then we have Suns at Nets. Wow. What the hell is this? Suns plus 2.5. Nets are kind of a mess right now. So, wouldn't hate the Suns. But don't even take the 2.5. It's not enough. Just take a money line plus 118, you would think. That's all there is for the NBA on FanDuel right now. There's nothing else here.
So, let's swap over to some hockey talk.
Oh, boy.
Right now, FanDuel only has one game on for the next of games that are not playing. They don't have any for tomorrow, but I'll talk about some of those. The only game tonight...
Let me check MGM.
Okay, the only game tonight that is worth betting on at this point... Toronto at San Jose. I don't think I like Toronto to win, even though they've met. This will be the second time they've met this year. The Sharks did win 5-3. I don't necessarily like San Jose to win, but I do like San Jose at plus 1.5. Spread there. Or puck line, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, puck line. Because it never changes. It's always 1.5.
Yeah.
BetMGM does have tomorrow's games up. So I will just kind of run through these really quick.
I'm going to talk about a couple. So I'll just say games and you give odds. Because not every game tomorrow, there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Of course, 4 of them are at 7 p.m. 6, 7, 8, 9 games tomorrow. There's really only a couple that I like, I think.
Okay.
What's Florida money, the Florida Panthers money line against Seattle?
-200.
No, I don't like that.
Puck line -1.5, +125. +125.
-2.5 for Florida.
No, -1.5.
-1.5. I actually like that.
I do too.
I like Florida puck line, Florida Panthers puck line -1.5. The Seattle goalies have been terrible. Grubauer
and you never know who's gonna score for them. You just see they're so new in their existence. It's a bit rocky to even talk about or to even try to guess. So I would just be willing to lean on the Panthers having a better night, and 1.5 should be.
Jordan Eberle is the Seattle's leading goal scorer with 9 so far this year. But again, the big thing why I like a puck line there at -1.5. Philip Grubauer is allowing 3 goals a game, and Dreiger is allowing 4.7.
Jesus.
With a save percentage of 790.
Is that Lehman or Wagner?
Christ. Fuck.
Sounds like an NHL World Shell goalie.
Bob, the Tampa Bay Lightning killer, Sergei Bobrovsky, is allowing 1.9. And
do we know who's starting? Because if it's Big Bob, Panthers puck line +125, that's the move.
That's the thing. Even Spencer Knight, though, he's played solid this year. He's 5-2-1. He's allowing just shy of 3 goals a game. But you look at the games that he's played. He played Washington.
I mean, he plays in arguably the toughest division in all of hockey.
Yeah.
So.
Like, he's played Washington, played Carolina. Like,
Tampa, maybe?
He hasn't seen Tampa yet. He's seen.
He will.
Spencer Knight's seen Washington. He's seen New Jersey in a game. New Jersey dropped punk 7 on him. He saw Washington when Ovi had his 28th career hat trick. So.
I mean. Stats could be even better than what they are. But.
Yeah, so I do. No, I don't really don't. No matter who Panthers play, if it's a Bobrovsky, yes, 100%. Puck line 1.5. So I like that there. That with that game. Money line of Buffalo Detroit. I like Detroit. I think.
Detroit -190.
Puck
line on this is. +135.
It's just that
if Nedeljkovic is starting, I would definitely lean on Detroit. He is after
yes.
a dud of an opening game. Ned has been phenomenal for us.
Agreed.
So
if Grice is starting, I want nothing to do with this game.
I wouldn't even say that. I think they can still beat Buffalo even if Grice starts.
If Grice starts, I would go
with
ahead.
With Ned, I'm very confident
in puck line.
The 1.5. Well, yeah, in puck line, +135 on that. Money line -190. I mean, it's not great, but it could be worse.
In a parlay, I don't think. Buffalo 2-5-1 on the road. They started off hot, winning 4 in a row, and they've won 3 cents. They're 7-10-2 on the year. They're not.
Yeah.
Buffalo was surprising everyone after that first week, and then look at Buffalo. They lost to Boston, Columbus, the Rangers, Calgary, and then they beat Winnipeg. Or not Winnipeg. They beat Pittsburgh 1-2. 2-1.
I mean, that early season stretch there could get them to the 69 points that we talked about in the NHL preview, so who knows, but yeah, they are tanking hard now.
Yeah. So again, Nedeljkovic starts, I like puck line. Grice starts, I just like money line as a parlay booster. Okay. So there's that. What is the What are the lines on Edmonton and Vegas?
Gotta scroll back up. That was ahead of Detroit, Buffalo.
Oh, oops. I'm just going down how ESPN has them listed.
Vegas minus 120 money line. Edmonton plus 100. Vegas puck line is the puck line favorite. Kind of. I mean, they're the minus 1.5, but it's plus 195. Edmonton plus 1.5. I think I got words wrong. Vegas is minus 1.5 at plus 195.
Yep.
Edmonton
got that right.
Is minus 230 at plus 1.5.
I like Edmonton puck line and money line.
I don't really like the puck line because the odds aren't great. I would take them just straight money line.
Yeah, 100% take money line.
I wouldn't even hate the over here, to be honest. And the odds don't hate the over either. It's minus 120.
Say,
it's six.
Yeah, it's I have odds for that one on ESPN.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, the over I don't hate. I like Edmonton money line 100%.
For sure.
So there's that one.
I mean, Vegas is, you know, they're not bad by any means, but Edmonton is just, Edmonton's crazy. I mean, I think Connor McDavid currently is like, or it's either McDavid or Draisaitl. It's on pace for like 168 points. Now that'll never happen, but like that's just how well they're playing right now.
Yeah, absurd. There was one more. Where did it go? Oh, there it is. Columbus, St. Louis.
St. Louis, money line minus 165. Blue Jackets plus 140. Puck line, Blues minus 1.5. That's plus 150. And Blue Jackets plus 1.5, minus 185.
I don't like this game as much as I thought.
Where, who are you on Columbus?
Kind of.
I'm thinking Columbus on that.
I kind of, like, Columbus is 12-6. They've been a little bit better than expected. Jonas Korpisalo has not been phenomenal. He's 3-3, 3.6 goals allowed, and a .89 save percentage. Merzlingis, though, 244 goals against average, 830, one shutout, and excuse me, 0.92 save percentage.
Christ.
So either way, though, like Bennington hasn't been phenomenal. He's 7-5-3. I have no idea who this guy, their backup is. Ville Husso. Never heard of this guy.
It sounds familiar, but I'm fairly certain that's just because of NHL franchise mode. So,
like, I have 1000% never heard of this guy. Yeah, I kind of like Columbus there. That's all I got for hockey.
All right.
Let's move on to no college basketball. Nothing worth touching.
Yeah, I'm still on the train that I've been on for the start of this season. Like, I tried in the first week, and things are just too wild right now. So I cannot get her done. So what do we have left to do?
Let's do some college football, NFL, and then soccer and locks.
Is there any soccer worth talking about?
I'm going to just peek through it here in a minute.
Do we want to do that? When do we want to do that?
I will do that after the NFL.
Okay.
I have like minimal to say. Florida State. I like Florida money line. Florida money line is minus 160. Florida spread 3.5. They're plus 104. Either way, I don't hate. The total's not good.
Yeah, the total is
Florida minus 3.5. I may have said plus 3.5. I don't remember.
Yeah, I don't know about this game. The only reason I would go Florida is because Florida with the interim head coach, right? Because Dan Mullen's been fired.
Correct.
So, I would say Florida. I mean, I don't want to take a money line at minus 160. It seems terrible, but plus 3.5 also kind of scares me.
Yeah.
An alternate spread here, or
hard to say with college football. No, you do not.
Nope, I don't see one.
That
sucks.
I don't have Ohio State, Michigan. There's really nothing.
Us went back down.
Yeah, it's down to spreads down to 7.5 again.
It went up to 8.5.
I saw that
a couple days ago.
We'll start with the total at 64.5. This could go either way.
Well,
this could go.
There are factors that we need to weigh in here when it comes to the total. Because I have heard, I have not confirmed this, but I have heard we are snowstorming in Ann Arbor tomorrow.
I had heard that. I don't know. Let's see.
I am on Weather Channel right now.
I'm on daily. Weather Underground. Let's see, hourly.
Saturday.
Or tomorrow.
Chance of snow 70%. Not much, though. About an inch of snow, and this game is at noon.
For the majority of it, like the chance of snow up until 3 o'clock is under 50%. So,
I hope every single snowflake in the entire state of Michigan just takes its happy ass over to Ann Arbor by tomorrow. Dude.
Just so you don't possibly have to see the ball in the air a lot.
Bingo.
Via CJ Stroud.
Because honestly, like this spread could do a lot of things. If that was the case. Even though Travion Henderson's still good, but he's still really good, but I mean Stroud's a different animal.
Yeah.
Even with that, I mean just how cold it's going to be. It's literally going to be exactly freezing at 32 degrees, presumptively. Really fucking cold. And I don't hate the under right now.
I don't hate the under, but I don't love it.
What do we got for first half spread?
Because
4.5.
I don't like anything about this game, honestly, in terms of betting.
And our stance on games like this is well known. I mean, especially for me, I don't touch them.
I don't either with Ohio State. That's the only reason I wanted to talk about this is like other people will have different opinions, but like it's the same thing with like what I said last week with Ohio State, Michigan State. The spread I didn't like. I don't know how I feel about 7.5. I think I said it with Michigan State last week. I think if Michigan wants to win this game, they're gonna have to score a lot of points. Like
maybe.
Which is why I don't know how I feel about the total at 64.5. I said it on the podcast on Wednesday too.
They might have to score a lot of points, or they might have to, hold Ohio State,
to 30. Which only two teams have done.
It's a hard thing to do, but I think Michigan's defense is capable of it.
That's a lie. I think only one team has held Ohio State to 30 or less.
To exactly 30? What? And that was Oregon?
No, to 30 or less.
To 30 or less.
No, two
what
teams.
Did you guys score?
Two teams.
What did you guys score in the Oregon game?
28.
Okay.
Two teams. So Nebraska and Oregon are the only two teams that have held Ohio State under 30.
What did you guys score against Nebraska?
26.
Okay.
We scored 66 against Maryland, 45 against Minnesota, 38 against Oregon, 41 against Tulsa, 59 against Akron, 52 against Rutgers, 66 against Maryland, 54 against Indiana, 33 against Penn State, 26 Nebraska, 59 Purdue, 56 Michigan State.
Jesus.
A lot of points.
with how limited FanDuel is right now.
I don't want to touch this game. I don't like anything about this game. In terms of betting.
I'm gonna flip around to some other books.
Money line, I don't really know if you can take Ohio State money line at 310, and I just don't know enough about Michigan at plus 240.
I mean, it's not a bad pick by any means. I mean, this spread is a lot closer than it is with a lot of teams that play Ohio State.
That is true. This is the lowest spread Ohio State's seen this year.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I still couldn't believe, even with how bad MSU's defense was, and even still with the result and what happened, I couldn't believe that spread was that low.
What, 18 and a half against
19
and a half against Michigan State?
Yeah. Yeah. I know you hate BetMGM, but I'm taking a look at some one-game parlay stuff.
I'm going to keep, while you're doing that, I'm going to just kind of keep powering through just to get us along. Georgia Tech, the only thing I like is the spread. Minus 35 and a half Georgia.
Never mind about this. There's nothing in there.
Okay. That's the only thing I like about that.
Maybe there's some other stuff.
Moving on.
First half spread.
Nope.
First half spread in on BetMGM is 4 in favor of Ohio State. It's 4.5 on FanDuel.
Alabama Auburn, this spread's gone up. I like Auburn at plus 20.5 to cover. Not to win.
Yeah, it's going to be a tough one to win, that's for sure. But I don't know. I think they keep it close. I don't, you know, you listen to Nick Saban and, you know, they're talking about how fans are pissed off that they're not blowing teams out and whatnot. So you're going to give me, what, 20.5, they said?
Yeah, the spread went up to 20.5.
Then, I mean, I just feel like that's an obvious choice.
I'll talk about this game later in my locks. I'll talk about that game later in my locks. That's really all I got for college football.
Where is, there you are, Bedlam. Tomorrow, 7:30.
I could see Oklahoma winning by more than 4.5, or Oklahoma State winning by more than 4.5.
Me too.
So
I think Mike Gundy's got the boys rocking.
So yeah, the over also could hit. I don't know. It's hard to say with that game.
I think Oklahoma State could be capable of hitting the over on their own.
At 49, or 50, I mean.
Yeah. 49.5 is the total here. I have zero clue when the last time we saw this game with a total that low was. Because, you know, we're used to the Oklahoma that scores 50 points every week. And Oklahoma State usually does the same. I mean, it's Big 12 football. They don't play defense.
Yeah.
That's been the stereotype for how long? But
a few years.
Quite some time. But, yeah, I could see Oklahoma State. I mean, Oklahoma's just not good. I think Oklahoma State has this easy. So, money line at minus 200. I mean, it's not the worst thing in the world.
Yeah.
Put that in with something else and you're off to the races. The over 49.5 minus 110. I'm fairly confident in it. Oklahoma State. Fuck. I mean, let me see. I'm still in BetMGM. I don't want to be over here.
Let's say I'm ready to move on whenever you are, by the way.
Hold on. I want to see Oklahoma State by, I mean, you're getting into danger territory here. So, Oklahoma State by 1 to 6 points is plus 360. Oklahoma State by 7 to 12 is plus 333. Not bad odds on that one.
Yeah.
And if we do think, I mean, hell, put a little on both of them. with the odds you're getting, you'll make up your bet back and then some. So
yeah. Real quick,
don't hate that at all, but let me close this god awful app
real quick. We're gonna actually go over to the Premier League right now because I only have two games I really want to talk about in the Premier League, just looking through what we have this weekend.
I don't know if I have any.
Really,
I gotta fucking find them.
There's not a lot of great games this weekend.
Liga, Serie A, Bundesliga, French. Where the fuck is the Premier League? Oh, there they are.
There's not a lot of great games this weekend. Tottenham money line. Wow, against Burnley. Tottenham is +100. I don't hate that. And then I don't hate Leicester -160 money line. Parlay those together, you get odds at +225. That's really all I like for the Premier League. Move on to the MLS playoffs. New England +100. I don't hate. And then Philadelphia +100 against Nashville. I got to check that one.
And take Kansas City for you, Caleb. Right, that was his MLS team, I believe.
Yeah, I
They have -210. I can't do it
against Real Salt Lake.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean I'm picking Real Salt Lake by any means. But
no,
odds are not there. not for me for MLS. Cannot do it.
I don't hate. I don't hate Nashville.
Over Philly.
They finished the same. I'm trying to look to see if they have any how they do against Philly in the season. And well, ESPN's a struggle bus.
It usually is. I'm with you on New England.
Nashville scored 10 more goals or 9 more goals than Philly, allowed one less. Both of them are solid teams. Head-to-head record is split 1-1. I don't hate Nashville, even though Nashville is a +260.
Even a draw at +210. I don't know.
You could
go anyway with that one. You're plus odds for everything, so. It is what it is. I don't think I have. I'm going to go back to college football. I have nothing else for the MLS, so I'm going to scroll through these and see if I have anything else.
Okay. I'm going to get up for just a minute, for a few minutes. I have basically...
Oh, hey. Real quick. I am going to take Georgia at Georgia Tech. Money line, Georgia -100,000.
Solid. I like that. Yeah, I have literally nothing for the NFL. So if you want to take your time and talk while I get up, I'm gonna run my dogs outside.
Oh, okay.
The NFL this week.
You don't like midseason NFL.
I don't. There's just no good games. Like
there aren't many, but
like one of the highlight games of the week might be the New York Jets at Houston.
Yeah, that's a shit fest waiting to happen.
There's like two games that I would touch in the NFL.
And hey, somebody's got to win that. Those are 2-2-win teams, man. That's good for the Detroit Football Lions. So I will take that any day of the week.
There's one game in the NFL I would touch this weekend. It's Tampa and Indy. But I'll be back in a minute.
Wait a minute. Hold on. You need to explain that one right now. Who are you taking there?
I am not going. Anything involving a result.
Oh, really? Okay. But just Jonathan Taylor, then.
Jonathan Taylor scored 2+ touchdowns.
I mean, that's if only he could take some of the ones that he scored this last week.
I also don't hate, by the way, you could throw this into a same game parlay. I don't hate, I don't hate this one. Jonathan Taylor scored 2+. Leonard Fournette to score a touchdown anytime. I don't hate that.
Ooh.
Your odds overall come out to 501. +501.
That's a solid one, but Ronald Jones could sneak in there and pick one up. But
yeah, I'm looking at Ronald Jones. His odds are +320.
Yeah, I mean, you just never know.
But I definitely really like Jonathan Taylor scored 2+.
Yeah,
that's all I got for that game. That's the only game way I would touch that game.
And I mean, I know his odds for scoring one is going to be absolutely terrible.
-260.
That's not good. For a same game parlay, throw it in there. But for anything else, you just can't do it.
His odds to score just anytime touchdown, one anytime touchdown is -260. His odds to score 2+ is +260.
Yeah, 2+ is the easy bet.
Yeah, that's all I like for like NFL is just that. Actually, let me look at yards just for a second. Jonathan Taylor alt rushing yards. Nope, nothing good until you get 90+. Or well, until you get around 70 plus, minus 180 for 70 plus, minus 112 for 80 plus.
If you're looking at the SGPs, you can pull that off, but
Jonathan Taylor alt receiving yards, 25 plus. I don't know how much they throw to him, so
they throw to him a bit. He's not like really known for it, but I mean, you know, he's so shifty when he does catch a pass, a little bubble screen, a little something.
Yeah,
he can even break it for and get his total. I've hit bets with that in there.
Yeah,
Jonathan Taylor rushing yards for that reason.
His total is set at his over under for so his total is set at 80 and a half. I would take the over. Like, I think, minus 114.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, that's
I think the only way the Colts have a chance of keeping this game close is Jonathan Taylor. Is that man?
I'm kind of leaning Colts straight up, man. Tampa's on a downswing.
Again, like I said, I don't know. Like, I just this game so goofy. It's one of those games that I wouldn't touch result.
Indy rather red hot and Tampa ice cold. Man, it's a tricky situation.
Even with their huge win over the hapless Giants.
Yeah, I mean Giants. That righted the ship, but it is the Giants. It's like beating the Lions. Like it doesn't mean anything.
Okay, so you want to take our NFL games while I get up for a few minutes?
Yeah, I'm going to scroll through college here really quickly and see if there's anything else I like. I already talked Oklahoma, Oklahoma State. Not seeing much. Wow, MSU's a 3.5-point dog against Penn State. When did that happen? Has that been the case the whole time? I don't know, y'all. MSU could be out a lot of people that I, from what I heard, something like 20 players they could be missing for tomorrow. So that's a dangerous thing. I haven't seen if that's confirmed or not yet, but that was the speculation last I knew. So MSU +3.5. I don't know. The Penn State defense is no joke. The Michigan State defense is a joke. I mean, let's be honest. Iron Bowl, like Austin said, I am on Auburn +20.5. That's -112. If you want to throw a sprinkle on Auburn moneyline 760, do it. I've kind of been looking at this game for the last couple weeks, but then Auburn kind of went on a tailspin, so I don't really know what to do there. But +20.5 for Auburn at home, especially in the Iron Bowl, I do not hate whatsoever because Alabama's just not killing teams like we're used to seeing do. Purdue to cover 14.5 against Indiana. Indiana is massive ass. Confirmed. Austin's not here. Got to confirm it myself. See, these are just the featured games. I'm glad I'm not scrolling through them all. I don't know what, I mean, as a fan of a team in Ohio State, Michigan tomorrow, I don't know what I would do, but I know I'm not touching it personally. Very, very interesting. The spread, the line, everything. With the weather tomorrow, we got some snow, we got some wind, we got some cold. The under doesn't look like a bad idea, but you would think guys from Ohio, guys playing in Ohio all year long, they ain't deterred by the cold either. But maybe both teams are. Playing anything in the cold sucks. And that's all it for college football for me. It's an NFL. Patriots -330 against the Texans. Oh, Tennessee. Not Texans, Titans. Sorry, Tennessee Titans. They are +7, +265 money line against the Patriots. Oh my, Patriots are hot. Titans just lost to the Texans. Oh boy. I don't know what to do there. I feel like Tennessee has to figure it out. Even I mean, Adrian Peterson's gone. They're going to focus on Devontae Freeman now. Wouldn't hate. I mean, even, you're going to give me a touchdown as well. Like, I feel like they're better than that. I feel like Tennessee's got to be there. Jets, Texans, we already mentioned that. That sounds like an absolute shit bowl. So I don't want anything to do with that. Eagles are involved in my lock, so I will not touch that game. Eagles and Giants, rather. Buccaneers, Colts. Austin didn't say anything about the result. I have zero clue either. I mean, I would lean Colts, but I mean, if you're going to give me an alternate spread, maybe. Like, let me find Colts plus. Plus 7.5 is a bit too much at minus 230. Not going to be much going on there. I don't know what to do with results either. I mean, that game could literally go either way. Flip a coin. I don't know. Falcons and Jaguars. Who cares?
I am back.
Perfect timing. My foot's falling asleep. Goddamn.
Oh. Where are we at?
We're on Falcons and Jaguars.
Ugh.
The shitfest that will be.
I have nothing to say about really any game in the NFL this week.
There's some really crappy games and there's some really crappy lines. Like
the only NFL game I might touch is the Colts Buccaneers game. So.
Lions have opened up at plus 7.5 next week against the Vikings.
Really?
Yeah. I feel like that's a spread that I'm gonna have to take, but we'll get there when we get there. Honestly, that spread's probably gonna go up. I mean, just all these spreads suck. I mean, listen to this. I'm just gonna run these down. Jets, Titans. Titans minus 2.5. Eagles.
Jets,
Giants.
Texans. You mean?
Yes. Did I say Titans? I was talking about the Titans game and I said Texans, so now I'm all goofed up.
Okay.
Eagles, Giants minus 3.5. Bleh. Buccaneers, Colts, Buccaneers minus 3.
Bleh.
Falcons are minus 2 against the Jags. Panthers are minus 2 against the Dolphins. Bengals minus 3 against the Steelers.
3.5.
Chargers. Says 3 for me, but whatever.
I'll say, where are you at? What?
I'm on FanDuel.
Oh, FanDuel has me at 3.5.
It just changed? Okay, cool. Yes, 3.5 now. Chargers minus 2.5 against the Broncos. Niners minus 3 against the Vikings. Rams minus 2 against the Packers. That's a scary one.
I don't hate. I hate that spread. I don't hate Green Bay moneyline there, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, traditionally, Green Bay and Aaron Rodgers have kind of owned Matthew Stafford, but I mean, new team, we'll see how it goes. And I mean, that Green Bay defense is not all that it, so
no,
that could easily be done. Ravens are minus 3.5 at home against the Browns, and then the football team is minus 1 against the Seahawks. Like, what? There is not a single spread.
I'm not touching that Seahawks-Washington game. I was just looking at that. I saw Washington was a favorite. I looked over at Moneyline. They're both, in terms of Moneyline, they're both minus 108.
There is no spread this Sunday or Monday that will give you more than a touchdown exactly.
Yeah.
The Titans. Did it fucking again. Texans, Patriots.
No, it is Titans, Patriots. You were right.
Yeah. No, but I said I tried to say Texans again. I'm all fucking. I'm.
You no, you up. Actually started it right. Then you switched
whatever.
It.
My brain hurts.
I'd say looking at these games, yeah, it makes my brain hurt.
I mean, none of these. This might be just to stay away from the NFL week, other than what I have for my lock, because those are the only things I was confident in. I wanted to add more things, but to you know, get a little bit better odds going, but I'm just not confident in anything other than those two things. So
I'm not confident other than Jonathan Taylor scored 2+ touchdowns.
Fair enough on that.
At least with the NFL.
I'm all done with the NFL. I mean, I didn't run through all the games, but I mean these spreads. I ran through all the spreads and they stink.
So we only have one boost apparently. I mean, well, FanDuel has two, but one's only applicable if you're in Michigan. So we're not even gonna say that one.
Right, I see it.
Yeah, the Michigan Super Boost. Football odds boost.
Jesus. Wait. This one is interesting to me. Both Michigan and Michigan State to cover 3.5. That's MSU spread. That's not Michigan's.
Huh. Jesus. I didn't even read that. I just saw two cover.
Like, let me really quickly see if I throw Michigan plus the 7 and MSU plus the 3.5, or 7.5 rather, for Michigan. That's plus 272.
Not plus 330.
Not plus 330 regular, plus 500 on the boost.
That's odd.
Why the hell? That's a confusing one.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have brought that up normally either, but that kind of sucks.
Yeah, it actually kind of does.
Massive ass.
Confirmed. Your football odds boost. College football super boost. Ohio State, Penn State, Alabama to all win. I gonna talk about the Penn State game in my lock. So yeah, I wouldn't touch that anyway. Odds are plus 140. Original normal are plus 140. Boosted to plus 220.
I mean, you got two massive favorites. Well, not massive. I mean, you got one massive favorite in Alabama, one touchdown favorite in Ohio State, and then Penn State somehow is minus 3 against MSU.
Yeah.
No idea how. I don't have any clue. You can do it if you...
That Penn State one scares me. And I'll talk about why.
The Penn State one scares me, and I mean, Ohio State and Michigan isn't like a guaranteed thing, so...
No. It's honestly a bit more guaranteed than Penn State traveling to the woodshed.
Yeah.
James Franklin might get lost and go to Ann Arbor.
But at the... Jesus Christ.
Like he tried to do when they played Ohio State.
But, so the issue with MSU is... There is a report out there that they're going to be missing 20 players tomorrow.
Jesus, this makes my lock a little scary. With that being said, do we want to get into our locks?
I have nothing else to cover. Yeah, I'm all out on these. So
it is time for our virtual locks of the week, so we can get out of here and Jordan can go spend time with family because Thanksgiving meal dinner's on Saturdays.
It is. It's just, so our family just kind of gets together whenever we can, you know, people got work and whatnot.
Fair enough.
Usually it happens like a week later. So the fact that it's only a couple days later is somehow a win for us. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. I don't want to go spend time with them right now. I mean, I got all of tomorrow. It's fine.
Fair.
Sit up here the rest of the night.
I'm going to go with my lock first.
All right. Please do.
Okay. My lock is Michigan State money line. Michigan State is a against Penn State home game for Michigan State, a plus 108 money line. So they're not huge underdogs in terms of money line. The spread's 3.5 at whatever. Oregon, who kind of screwed me last week in a bet that was not a lock, just a bet. Because it made no sense to me that Oregon was an underdog against Utah, and well, yeah.
Vegas did us again, man.
I was
with you on Oregon too. I didn't bet on it, but
Oregon might to cover the spread at minus 6.5. I think if they win, it's gonna be by more than 7, more than a touchdown. And then Kentucky money line against Louisville. Kentucky is a plus 122, I'm sorry. Money line. The odds on that total go up to plus 746. Vegas could know something that I don't know. Again.
I was very, very shocked. Not at the picks, but the odds.
Vegas could. So first off, here's what I got on the Michigan State game. Penn State, Michigan State game. Mel Tucker just signed that big contract. He kind of needs this game. Like, you just got your dick stomped in.
At that point, he really doesn't. He just signed a $10.95 million deal. He don't need shit.
He doesn't, but in a way, he kind of also does, because you don't want the next couple years marred by. Oh, yeah, you don't want to lose. You don't want your next couple years marred by, oh, hey, he signed that big contract and then sucked massive ass.
Yeah.
That's the big thing. It's like, oh, he beat Michigan both times in his first 2 years and then signed that big, massive contract, making him the highest paid coach in the Big Ten and one of the highest paid coaches in all of college football.
And then we're playing meaningful football on week 13, and MSU is not.
Yeah. You don't want that if you're you can't have that if you're Mel Tucker. You kind of need this game in a way, especially against Penn State, I guess, big rival of Michigan State's. I didn't really know they were, like, big rivals.
Penn State?
Yeah.
I wasn't aware of that.
I guess it's kind of like a slightly bigger rivalry game, I guess, kind of.
Then who?
I don't. For at least those two schools consider it. I don't really know. I don't know much about this.
Or is it kind of in the? Well, I mean, it can't be because MSU and Penn State are kind of inconsistently competitive. Like they can win a game. I was gonna compare it to Michigan and Minnesota, but Michigan just fucking dominates them.
Yeah,
that'll be a rivalry forever because there's a trophy play for it.
Moving on. Really quickly, go ahead.
Really quickly on MSU, the players that could be out, this is from Brett McMurphy. Who that is, I don't know, but he's verified on Twitter, so I'll take his word for it.
Okay.
Michigan State has been hit by a flu bug and a rash of injuries, and may be without up to 20 players, including possibly 6 to 8 starters against Penn State.
Does it name them? If not, I mean,
the tweet does not. I'm gonna check out the article here. What do we got here? But at the same time, you gotta look at, okay, so these players were injured for Penn State a week ago, and you know, I assume a decent amount of them are still banged up at least a little bit. You had Sean Clifford, Caden Wallace, Rasheed Walker, Mike Miranda, Curtis Jacobs, and John Lovett. The Spartans are not named.
My thing with Sean, Penn State, Sean Clifford's backup is not good. I mean, yes, Penn State had the game against Rutgers last week where they beat Rutgers 28-0 with the backup Christian Velu out of Ottawa.
Oh, really? Made dreams of playing in the CFL.
But Sean Clifford, I just don't know. Like, Oregon spread,
I gotta get off this Twitter thread.
Oh, God. Yeah, it's probably bad. Oregon spread.
Really? Hold on.
Yep, sorry.
It was, we have an Ohio State fan just because, you know, MSU has the flu, not COVID, from what's been reported.
Oh, Jesus, God.
Zach from Twitter says, isn't this supposed to be Michigan? They're known for ducking OSU. Quick, send everyone to Ann Arbor.
Moving on.
Yeah. Continue.
By the way, the spread for the Oregon State game in Autzen Valley there, Oregon State, that spread's jumped. Oregon State is now a 7.5. I got them at 6.5.
I'm sorry, favorite? Oregon State?
Oregon State, no, Oregon is still a 7.5 point favorite.
Okay.
I may have misspoke there.
Say, man. I was like, whoa, what happened here?
No, spread jumped up a point for in Oregon's favor there now. Oregon is now a 7.5-point favorite. I got them at 6.5. I would still probably take them at 7.5. Let me check that just to see some stats.
Fuck.
It's a little odd that that spread jumps like that. How many points Yeah, I like Oregon even at 7.5.
So now, again, unrelated to our locks here. ESPN has announced their celebrity picker for College Game Day tomorrow in Ann Arbor.
Oh God.
It is somebody named Sebastian Manis Calco.
Hey, he came up when I googled Sebastian. Is it spelled M-A-N-I-S?
C-A-L-C-O.
He is
a comedian, apparently.
What does he have tied to the University of Michigan?
People have tried to find that out, and apparently the answer is nothing.
Let's say, he went to Northern Illinois. He is from Chicago area. In Arlington Heights. Chicago metropolitan area. What does...
I don't know. I guess I'm watching Big Noon.
What the?
They're in Ann Arbor too. Zero idea.
I like Oregon minus 6.5. Kentucky money line. Vegas has Kentucky as an underdog.
Is Kentucky home?
No, Kentucky's on the road. That's I think that's the only reason why Louisville's a favorite, because I believe in terms of record. It's drastically
Kentucky has been relatively hot at home, or at least they were. I mean, we've kind of gotten away from picking them for a little bit.
Yes.
But they were up there for a little while, and they were hot at home for quite some time, so.
Yeah, I just want to check real quick. Kentucky's 8-3, Louisville 6-5. I think the only reason Louisville's the favorite here is because it's home.
I would assume.
The SEC is just horrible.
Remember when we were watching Louisville, week two?
Week one against Ole Miss, I think.
It might have been. No, I watched a really, really bad game with Louisville. I don't remember who they were playing, but it was one of the worst things I've ever seen.
UCF,
might have been Florida State.
Yeah, they only beat Florida State by 8. They got bludgeoned by Ole Miss.
Yeah, of course.
I don't like Louisville in this game. Vegas could know something I don't. So that's my locks. Once again, Michigan State money line, Oregon cover the spread. 6. I got it at 6.5. I would still take it at 7.5. Kentucky money line. Wrap those all together. Your odds on that 3-leg parlay are +746.
That appears to be a self-hate decision that I would not make. My lock could very well be the one that hits. That yours? Maybe this is our week's. Maybe this is the week for both of us. Who knows?
Yeah.
I'm going with the two games that I do feel the most confident about, because there is a lot of funny stuff going on with the spreads in the NFL this week. A lot of really even, crappy, or really good games, depending on how you look at it.
Bad. They're going to be crappy.
Philadelphia Eagles. I mean, this game might be crappy. Philadelphia Eagles -3.5 against the New York Giants. Giants stink, and the Eagles offense has actually looked really good.
Yes.
The last few weeks. Giants are the Giants. They have an offensive coordinator after the firing of Jason Garrett. So that's going to be a tough thing to overcome for New York. It's interim
Mason Garrett
coach
was not the problem.
No, he was not. Joe Judge is very much the problem, and he will continue to be the problem as long as, well, let's be honest. And we went over this on the podcast on Wednesday. It's Dave Gettleman. He's the main problem. Because Dave Gettleman's bad at his job.
Let's say, but you got to look at Jason Garrett. Jason Garrett was only there for a year and a half.
I would say, I think he got hired there last year.
Yeah. I mean,
I don't know. Giants' ineptitude is stretched far beyond that.
Joe Judge, yeah. Joe Judge, yes, he's only been there since 2020 also, but I just...
But, I mean, it's kind of to the point where after this Sunday, or the Thursday with the Lions, it's kind of, you know, I'm not ready to, you know, be on the fire Dan Campbell train just yet. But if it keeps going the way that it's going, and there is an improvement that is made, then next year we need to have that conversation. Like, Dan Campbell, we'll talk about that next Wednesday. Because this was,
yeah.
This has been just fucking brutal.
Yeah, this Dan Campbell experiment's been a thing.
Now, I will say, the mistake at the end of the game that, well, one of them, the timeout, the double timeouts.
Yeah.
Not on Dan Campbell.
No, I'll give.
That is on Aaron Glenn. I mean, to be fair, it's on both of them because Aaron Glenn is calling a timeout. He's the one animated and saying, I want the timeout. And then Dan Campbell just has a brain fart and calls timeout as well, trying to get the ref to see it. But, I mean, when you have a coordinator shouting at the ref called trying to get a timeout, what are you going to do? I don't blame Dan Campbell for that. But there's some other stuff that I will blame Dan Campbell for. But we will get deeper into that on Wednesday. Second leg of the lock and the last leg of the lock is the Washington football team. Straight money line. Put those two together. And, again, that's Eagles -3.5, Washington football team money line. That'll give you +264 odds. I'm just trying to win here. I am just trying to win. I couldn't find a dog that I liked. Not a lot of good stuff for college going on this week because, it's an unwritten rule that it's got to be at plus odds. But at this point, with all of us losing, we might as well change it. That's where I'm at. I'm really confident in those two. Seattle hasn't shown me anything since Russell Wilson's come back. I feel like he might have come back too early. And Taylor Heineke's been playing pretty well as well lately. So, you know, beat the Buccaneers. So why can't they beat the Seattle Seahawks? That seems easy enough to me.
Yeah, possible.
So for the final time, Eagles -3.5, football team money line, +264. That will be the one. I'm telling you.
Fair. And those are our locks of the week. And
they are indeed.
That is episode 6 of the Backdoor Cover.
There is.
I said it Wednesday. And if anyone missed the show on Wednesday, it is on audio. It got up on audio just a little bit before this show, before we went live with this show. Thank you, everybody, for the past, well, 5 seasons with Backdoor, or with the House Divided podcast and the 6 episodes here of Backdoor Cover and the however many episodes of my personal top 25 or top 10 once we got to the college football playoff committee that I put up. Thank you for giving us a platform. We're here the holidays, especially Thanksgiving. Well, just the holidays in general. Chance to...
End of that season.
A chance to be grateful for everything we have. And Jordan, I can speak for Jordan and I both. We are very grateful. We have a chance to come on here and have a platform for our ramblings about sports.
Yep.
I was going to
try and make a joke and be like, nah, fuck you guys. But yep, that is very much the case. Very, very cool that we're able to do this.
Again, I gotta echo a little bit of what I said on Wednesday. Stuff we just do in our free time. Anyway, when we're not here on, when we're not on the show, on either of our shows, it's just what we do in our free time. If we're sitting, chilling, playing video games together, or messaging back and forth about how awful some of the football we had to watch yesterday was. I don't know what I watched yesterday.
Like, people will complain. People will complain, and they always do, about the Lions having a Thanksgiving Day game, even though we're the one that started the whole tradition.
Yes.
Dallas has now lost, I believe, 3 straight on Thanksgiving, and that Sunday night game that always rotates was hot ass. So you got no good football from any of the games you saw yesterday. That is not a Lions problem.
Yeah, those games. I mean, that Raiders-Cowboys game ended up being close, and there was a fight in said game, which I'm sure we might talk about, and it's on Wednesday.
Maybe.
An official got headbutted.
Yeah, that did happen. I'm sure there might be some suspensions coming from that one. The NFL usually doesn't mess around with stuff like that, so would not be shocked to see some see the proverbial hammer laid down a little bit.
But there wasn't a lot like a lot of greatness to talk about from that game, though. Other than that,
no, there really wasn't. Dallas kind of came back. Raiders let Dallas back in that game, but still got it done. Lions did what the Lions did, and. Who did the Bills play? Saints? I don't even know. I watched like a quarter of that game.
I didn't watch any of it.
It was out of hand already. It was like 17-0 by the time I just gave up, and I was like, this game sucks.
Yeah. So
I was just over. I was over it at that point. I was like, I've heard people from noon on. I've heard people complain that they have to watch the Lions on Thanksgiving every year, and I'm like, hey, I suffer with this team every day in my life.
Yeah,
you guys can suffer one day a year.
Right. So, again, actually, no, Jordan and I talked about, said something on Wednesday, mostly in a reference to his typo, about potentially keeping backdoor cover a running thing through this year because, well, both of us enjoy doing it on Friday nights instead of flipping it over and just reabsorbing it with the,
Oh, you're talking about the pucks.
Yeah, the puck line, the pucks. Oh, God. Instead of reabsorbing it into the podcast, that might be something that could happen. That's all I got on that.
The pucks.
I would not hate keeping backdoor cover as its own thing, honestly.
This is a good time.
Because I do have fun doing this every week. We're only here for usually an hour, hour and a half. Between an hour and a half. So, yeah, that's a possibility. I know... beginning of this season when we first started doing this, we said, oh yeah, it's probably only gonna be a few months until we're done with picks, football picks. Well, football picks are rapidly coming to an end.
We're gonna have nothing but the NFL picks here shortly. I mean,
that's not entirely
true. We got some mid-December bowl games.
So we got some bowl games, some college football bowl games. We got next week's championship games. Not a lot of championship games. There's only, 10, maybe?
Yeah, maybe. And then the week after...
Just Army-Navy.
Army-Navy, and that's it.
Yeah. Then we have a week of nothing and then bowl games.
We might even have some. There's so many bowl games these days that they probably do start bowl games like early December, mid-December.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't even be shocked.
Yeah, we are coming close to an end with that, but I'm sure Jordan and I will talk about it as we approach. It's distinctly possible that this could be something we keep running through the year. And maybe we just shorten the podcast up even a little more.
I mean, I don't know. The pucks could be a very long, enduring thing.
That could be fun.
The fucking $100. Goddamn typos.
I'm gonna go out on a limb and say on Christmas Eve we will not be doing backdoor cover.
Oh, that's a Friday?
Yeah.
Yeah, probably not. I mean, I don't know what any of us are doing at that point.
Still a month out.
We'll get there when we get there.
We will definitely have shows, we intend on having shows on the 3rd, the 10th, and the 17th, those three Fridays, though. Yep. So, with that being said, Jordan, do you have any final thoughts not related to Ohio State, Michigan in that game?
I totally do.
Bad beats suck.
Bad beats do suck.
Fuck Dan Snyder.
But that too.
Or did you actually have serious things?
No, not really.
Oh, okay.
I was just going to be a pain in the ass and say go blue.
And you fit it in anyway.
Yes, sir.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
This is the last time we will talk here before the game tomorrow.
Yes. So, yes, it is. Fair enough. You had to slip it in.
For my sanity, can you guys just not, please?
Not what? Score 49 and a half?
Not. I don't know. Score nothing.
Don't know if that's going to happen.
I don't know if that's possible unless CJ Stroud dies.
Again, I'm going to go back to my joke I made Wednesday that I had been holding for a long time.
Oh, yeah.
Fielding Yost would have to poltergeist a chair at CJ Stroud. His ghost would just have to appear in the sky above Michigan Stadium with a chair.
I mean, if his ghost is anywhere, it's probably there.
Yeah.
Or maybe he
completely destroys the field just to pull that bulldozer up and throw it at somebody. and then unfortunately we wouldn't have a playing surface.
No, we would not, because it'd have to tear through the artificial turf and all the ground up tires, so that'd be a bad thing.
Yeah. We'd have to go play at a high school.
I mean, there's a high school around.
Yeah.
But if I was Ryan Day, just to be safe, I would make sure there are no chairs on the sideline, just in case. Just in case that happens.
You see him tomorrow in pregame, just chair check where goes up. Where are all your fucking chairs at?
Where are all your fucking chairs at?
Honestly. Oh my god. That would be hilarious.
I do hope that Ryan Day's pants do not catch on fire tomorrow. I hope he does not suffer the same fate as Jim Harbaugh.
I hope Jim Harbaugh's pants don't catch on fire, because apparently his players don't fucking care.
Well, whoever that was, I don't remember the player's name. I don't think he plays a lot. Who told him, yeah, hey, coach, your pants are on fire. Yeah,
fuck. That's
cool. Yeah, thanks.
I don't.
Thanks a lot, kid.
Thanks, kid. Hey, coach, your pants are on fire.
Good Lord above.
I could just see Jim's reaction. Oh, fuck. Oh, fuck. Oh, fuck.
Oh, you know.
Oh, shit.
I mean, you know, all that enthusiasm unknown to mankind stuff.
Oh, my God. Yeah. That was... just the fact that that's still a thing is hilarious. Jim Harbaugh's pants were in the news on whatever day.
I mean... Sunday, maybe? Jim Harbaugh's pants have been in the news for quite some time. You know, his love for khakis back in the day when he stopped wearing khakis.
Not just khakis, Walmart khakis, and then eventually Lululemon khakis.
Yes, yes, he did wear $10 Walmart khakis until his wife threw them out multiple times. Sarah said, nope, no Walmart khakis for you. He eventually did switch to the Lululemon khakis. And,
said it was life-changing.
He did. He said he would never wear anything else. Expensive as hell, by the way.
Yeah, like $100+. Fucking stupid.
I believe like $130, $140, something like that.
Fuck that.
Or it's actually, I think it's some bizarre price, like $128. But, yeah, and then his pants caught on fire in the Penn State game. Penn State got Jim Harbaugh's pants. And then
that was my
last week we had the article that said Jim Harbaugh switched from wearing khakis to blue pants. That's paraphrasing, but that's the change of culture for Michigan.
I think I thought the article headline said Harbaugh's pants changed. Now the game has to change, or something or the culture has to change. Something dumb like that.
I think you're onto something with that, but I think it was Harbaugh's pants have changed. Now the culture has changed because they do. Somebody, whoever wrote that, does truly believe that the culture has completely changed at Michigan.
Yeah, it was all because of pants.
All because of blue $100 plus pants, man. That's the secret. I mean, if any Big Ten coach is listening out there and wants to change their culture, just blue expensive pants, man. Just change up your pants.
Maybe next season that's what we see Scott Frost wearing.
Blue pants, that wouldn't make any sense.
Or Brett Bielema.
That would make a little bit more sense, but I don't know if they make him in his size.
In the size of water buffalo?
Yes, sir. On that note.
On that note, let's get out of here. Fuck. Hold that thought.
Why did we talk about pants for 5 minutes?
I don't know, but that was great. That was a phenomenal ending. On that note, regain a little bit of composure because that was glorious.
We say pants quite a bit, as a bit of a bad word. When you say pants, doesn't mean good things. But I mean, apparently for Michigan,
it might.
I guess that's the case, man. It's just fucking pants.
Well, we apparently they don't make expensive blue pants in the size of a Brett Bielema.
I would assume not. That is a very large man.
Yeah. So on that note, before this show is unending,
right?
Thank you for making us part of your afternoon or your evening, your Friday night, however you may be watching, wherever you may be watching from, or however you may be listening, you know, wherever you may be listening from. So, with that being said, peace out, stay classy, and see ya.
I can't give you a big bang, man. It's just a subdued bang.